Yes, let's get started. So for the tape, I'm Ruth Beecher, and I'm interviewing Jane Williamson.
Yes.
And today's the 25th of February, 2019, and we're at Jane's home in South London. So Jane, would you like to start by telling me a little bit about where in Ireland your family were from and the kind of background to the family and that where you come in the family, that kind of thing, before we get started?
Okay, so it's just my father's side of the family that were Irish, my dad grew up in Dunleary. His father was in the police in Dublin. He grew up there and he was the second oldest of six children. Sadly, their mum died when the youngest child was only 3 months old. And they moved back to County Offaly, which is where the extended family are from, because they'd got, you know, various relatives who could help look after the children. So my grandfather left the police and moved to Offaly and bought a farm. And that's where my dad grew up.
From what age was he? Very little, or?
Yes, he was only six when his mum died, so they moved back to Offaly then and lived in just outside, it's a little village near a place called Burr, lived there until my dad left Ireland when he was about 17. Mm-hmm. I think he was quite desperate to get away.
Was he, Where was he in the family? Was he?
He was the second oldest.
Right, so he had lots of responsibility.
So my dad was the second oldest, and he came to England, he came to London and worked in a bar to start with. So worked in a pub just off near the Euston Road. I think it was some extended, you know, some friend of the family. So he went to work.
The connections.
Went to work there. And then he joined the British Army, which was a bit, but I think it was more, he was only 17, he was kind of excited and wanted, you know, some adventure.
Lots of Irishmen did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So what year would that have been then? What year was your dad born?
1920, about 20.
So 37, so before the...
No, that can't be right. Sorry, I can't remember.
I
got
like that with mine as well.
No, maybe it was after.
So was it pre-Second World War or?
No, it was about the time of the war.
Okay.
So maybe it was a bit, sorry. He died, I can find out in a minute. So he joined it was something called the King's Liverpool Regiment, which a lot of Irish people joined. And I think the British Army, although they wanted these soldiers, they didn't really trust them that much. So he was sent away. I mean, he had a little bit of kind of direct, you know, action.
Yes.
But then spent most of the war in Jamaica, having the time of his life as a young man from a little village in Ireland. He just had a wonderful time, and you know, just kind of guarding Jamaica. So then after the war, he joined the police, and that's where he met my mum. And
she was a civilian in the police force. Was she
was she? No, she was in. She was a police
was
officer.
She
was
well?
A police officer.
Ah,
yeah,
fabulous.
Yeah, she was. So they met at Streatham Police Station, and
so only a few miles away from where we're sitting. And what age were they then? Were they in their 20s or?
No, my dad was in his 30s.
He was
32, I think. My mum was 23. He was quite a bit older. And I think they were very, my dad was from a Catholic family, and my dad was very, you know, involved in the church always. And that's where I think he kind of was friends with a lot of other Irish, local Irish people as well. And there was quite a lot of Irish people.
Do you mean in your...
In this area, I think, when we were growing up. seem to remember. Maybe it's just because we went to school and church and we met a lot of Irish people through through those places.
Did you go to a church school?
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school, yeah, just
and
down
where
the road.
And where did they move when they married and had kids?
So they, because they were in the police, they got a police flat. At the time, the wages, police wages, weren't very good at all. And it was quite hard to get afford accommodation. So they bought a flat, not bought a flat, got a flat just down in Annerley, police flat.
Yeah.
And that's where we were all born and eventually bought a house. So, yeah.
In Annerley?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. And tell me where you are in the family.
I'm the second eldest of five children. So I've got an older brother and two younger brothers and a younger sister.
Okay, yes. And so the main part of the interview is about the kind of ages between about 15 and sort of 25, 29, that sort of age.
Okay.
Because that's an age where, you know, you're doing secondary school, lots of things happen with you growing up, and that's, so that's what we're really interested in.
Okay.
So thinking about that, when you were 15, can you sort of describe what your life was like at that time?
I went to an all-girls convent school.
Ooh, where was that?
Called Coloma in
Coloma,
Croydon.
Yeah,
Croydon. I loved school and I worked really hard. Really
it's
liked
very good
it.
School as well.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it,
it yeah. was. Yeah, yeah. So yes, really liked being at school.
I don't know. London noise in the background.
Yes.
Particular subjects or
I liked most things actually. Liked geography and English, Latin, I particularly liked German, yeah, quite a lot of things. So had some friends from lots of friends from school and friends from church, and friends who lived in the road. Used to do ballroom dancing, although I think I might have finished it by the time I was 15. Used to go to a lot of school discos.
Mm. So have you still got that talent with ballroom dancing then?
No. I don't know if I don't know if I ever had it in the first place.
I bet you could do the move still. That you'd never forget that, would you, if you were trained?
No.
You were lucky that it was
cha-cha-cha.
Ballroom and not Irish dancing.
Yeah, yeah, no,
then.
It's true. Although
the costumes.
Yeah,
much
no,
better.
I did quite want to do Irish dancing, but there didn't seem to be any way around here to do it.
Oh, okay.
So no, I wanted to do ballet actually, but I was quite a chubby child, and they said, "Yeah, I'd be better doing ballroom dancing."
Cheeky.
So
very busy sort of school life.
Yeah, yeah. And a very happy home life as well. What else can I say? So then I did my GCSEs and that was all fine. And then obviously the big thing that happened was my mum died when I was 17.
Oh, right, 17, yeah.
So, and I was the...
You were the oldest girl.
The oldest girl. So I sort of took over really looking after the others.
Mm. Were you still in school at that stage? Or?
Yeah, yeah, I was just in doing A-levels. So I stayed on at school and did A-levels as well.
You managed to
do
them?
Yeah.
Fair dues, that's hard. Must have been hard with everything going on.
Yeah, no, it was a horrible time. It was really hard.
And was it very sudden, your mum's death?
Yeah, she had a stroke and died really suddenly in her 40s. Yeah, and an aneurysm.
And your dad was a bit older then, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he was in his 50s then and left exactly like had happened in his own family.
Of course, it was like an echo.
But he was 6 when his mum died, and my youngest brother, who you know was 6 when my mum died.
That must have been so
cruel.
Yeah,
but I think the kind of Irish side of things really helped a lot.
Well, because there was a big group.
Because there was a massive group of aunts and various people who
in
rallied.
Ireland themselves or here?
Some of them
or
were
mixed.
In Ireland and some of them were here. My dad had his sort of closest brother moved to London as well. They lived in Plumstead.
Oh, so not too far.
And his wife was really, they had 7 children of their own, but they still kind of helped us out and we used to go and visit. And my mum's family, you know, were really helpful as well. But I think there was a sort of constant stream of aunts and visitors and various people.
Which must have been kind of helpful.
Kind of helpful and kind of a bit overwhelming when you just wanted to be.
Did that go on ad infinitum, or was it for like an intense period around your mum's death?
It was quite intense, but it went on. Yeah, it did go on.
Hmm. When did she die? What time of year was it?
In March, 1st of March.
Oh,
yes.
Anniversary.
So we used to go to Ireland for the school holidays, or go to Hertfordshire to see my mum's family.
What, for the whole of the 6 weeks kind of thing? Or?
No, for some of it. I think some of the younger ones were farmed out to go and stay with people for the school holidays quite often, but because I was a bit older, I didn't have to do that.
I mean, that's a kind of a tradition in Irish families in London anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
To send people back for the kids back. Even if you don't have a family tragedy like that.
So we didn't ever go to Ireland till I was 8.
Oh, right.
And my mum had never met some of the Irish relatives. It was just they couldn't really, you know, before cheap flights
and
before
it was very used
to
go,
it was really quite difficult to go backwards and forwards. My
dad had to go on the ferry, I guess, or the coach.
Go to Holyhead and go on the ferry. So we didn't go back, till I was 8. And I must say it was a shock to the system going back there then. It was really primitive in Offaly then. No electricity, no running water. I know it was in the 60s.
In the 60s, was it? What year were you born?
59.
So
67.
It was quite rural where the
extremely
where
rural.
Were,
no, it was in the middle of nowhere, in the bogland, in right in the centre. One of my aunts had a pub. One of my dad's sisters married someone. They had a pub, so we stayed in the pub, which was quite exciting.
Yeah.
And we were kind of allowed a lot more freedom to go out and go to go to dances and all that sort of thing during our teens. Which was good fun.
So would you have gone back every year in your teens, or not that much?
Nearly. We did go back regularly.
And was it something you look forward to, or did you sort of resent having to leave your London mates to go back?
I think it was a mixture. I'm a real townie, so I hated the rural side of it. And some of our cousins were a bit mean.
Yeah.
They used to chase us with animals and,
just
do all sorts of things to terrorise the townies.
Mm.
But having said that, we did have good fun, and I had a few holiday romances while I was over there, which was good fun.
Did you go to dances and things like that in Burr?
Yeah, which was great fun. Really good
fun. Church hall type things, or
There were church halls, or there was a place, Dooley's Hotel, we used to go to, and the County Arms Hotel, and it was so exciting because hadn't gone out as much over here.
Yeah.
So it was good fun.
She gets swung around by these country.
Yes, girls. Yes.
How funny! So you did your A levels?
Yes, I did.
What did you do for your A levels?
Geography, economics and classical civilizations, and then I did sociology after I'd left school as well. So I was still at home looking after the others and doing the housework and all that sort of thing, and just decided the school wanted me to go to university, but I wanted to stay at home really and look after the others, so I didn't go. And I think also it wasn't a tradition in our family that
would you have been first to go if you had gone?
I would have been.
And did you feel what did your dad say? Was he trying to encourage you to go?
No, he wasn't. And I don't think women in our family, certainly. I think there was one cousin on my mum's side who went to university and got pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And I think before my mum had died.
The prediction sort
If you go to university, you'll get pregnant. You know, what's the point of doing that? Look what happened to your cousin, sort of thing. So there wasn't much encouragement.
No.
I mean, my dad was very proud of me doing well in my exams.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think he thought studying too much, what was the point of it really? Go out and get a job.
And did, and was it that he thought go out and get a job, or did he think you were going to be married soon and there wasn't?
No, I don't think he thought about that. No.
Did he want you to go on the police or?
No, not really. I don't know what he wanted. No, he used to introduce me. Oh, this is my daughter Jane. How many O levels have you got, Jane?
So he was really proud of you. Yeah, he was really proud of you.
Yeah, yeah.
But he thought, like, well, you've done well enough. Yeah, now get a job.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I then got a job for social services in Croydon as an admin trainee. So I did that for a few years. And I did like it. And I
is your older brother still at home, or
no? I can't remember. He left and he did join the police. Mm-hmm. He joined the police, and then so I went to work for social services. And actually, my mum had, when she was in the police, female police officers were much more like social workers. So what she did was dealt with children and dealt with women prisoners, children who'd been, you know, neglected or abused. So it was much more like social work.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And she was very, you know, very few female police officers.
Mm. That's why I was like, I was probably being sexist was she a police officer? Yeah. I had thought from something Phil had said that she perhaps was like a civilian.
No, she was a police officer.
There weren't that many, were there?
No, not at all. No, there weren't.
So do you mean that you were sort of, by going into social services, you were sort of following in Mum's footsteps?
Well, yeah, I didn't think so at the time. Yes, I didn't think it was anything like she'd done. But actually now, looking back on it, it obviously was much more. But yeah, I think my mum was a bit of a rebel, which I've only realised looking back on it. But actually, to join the police, her family were very against her doing that.
What was it? Was it too lowly, or was it was too dangerous,
and it's not the sort of thing women do. And then marrying somebody 9 years older, marrying somebody Irish, marrying somebody Catholic. So all of those kind of
went against the grain. So they had a mixed marriage then, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I hadn't realised that. I thought your mum was English but Catholic as well.
No, she wasn't. No.
Did she convert to marry your dad?
No, she didn't. Mm. No.
And so they got married in the 50s?
Yes.
Mid-50s?
Yeah. They got married in a Catholic church.
Did they? So that's quite different from... I think my mum also was... my mum was Church of Ireland.
Okay.
And they got married in 68, I think, and she didn't convert, but they couldn't have the full mass or anything.
Okay.
They had the choice of having just the ceremony but no mass, or having the whole thing in the side chapel.
Okay. Oh, yes.
So I think in Ireland it might have been a little bit behind in terms of mixed marriages.
I'm not sure what they had actually, but it was certainly in a church.
So she was a rebel. So she she married across religious lines and chose her job that she wanted. And was she from London, or?
She was from Hertfordshire, a little village called Aldbury in Hertfordshire.
So did she come in for the police then?
She joined, Yeah, and she used to commute for ages from this little village to Streatham. I think there was a bus that came in. I think she used to do shifts, so she came on the bus on the beginning of her shift pattern.
Yes.
And then stayed in the police section house and then went back again.
So you're working in social services.
Yes, I was working in social services.
So you're about what now, 18 or?
Yeah.
And so what age is your youngest brother then?
He is 11 years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
So there was one 11 years. I've got a brother who's nearly 4 years older than me. Then my parents had another child who died as a baby in between
me and my older brother
Kevin. And then I've got a sister as the next one down who's 2 years younger than me. Then another brother who's about nearly 3.5 years younger than me. And then the youngest.
Who's much younger than you?
Who's 11 years younger, yes.
And so was your younger sister kind of doing more of the looking after... the youngest then when you
went full time working?
No,
or
not really. No, you still were... she was just.
You were still looking after
having quite a wild time. Yeah, no, my sister. Yeah, she was quite the life and soul of the party.
So she didn't feel the responsibility then.
No.
You did all.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And it was just expected. I think it was just what people assumed I would do. I think.
And were you kind of okay with that, or did you feel a bit resentful, or was it just you expected it yourself as well?
I think I just got on with it, really.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, it was really, I think you just get on with things, don't you? And now looking back on it, don't know how I did it, really.
Mm. Well, no, I think you're probably remarkable, because I don't think everybody would just get on with it, you know what I mean? But you obviously did.
Did you like social services? I did, yes. So I worked in Croydon Social Services for a couple of years, and I did a course in business administration, like local government administration. It's like a HND type course.
So we're about 78 now or something, are we? 1978?
80, yeah, about 78, 80.
Yeah.
Then I went to work for Southwark Council as an administrator again. And then I got involved in helping out with more... I worked for a team of social workers. No, sorry, I'm getting confused. Mm-hmm. When I went to work in Croydon, actually, as part of doing the admin trainee thing, I was an administrator for a team of social workers. That's right. And they were the weirdest people I'd ever met. I'd been to this quite strict convent school, you know, it was very prim and proper and law-abiding and everything else. And I worked with these social workers who used to swear, and I wasn't used to people swearing. They used to smoke dope. They were the remnants of old hippie social workers. One of them talked about having abortions, and I mean, it was really, I was just... shocked. I was totally shocked. I was so green and so kind of naive, I think.
It was just such a different world.
Yeah, completely different. Completely different. But anyway, then I went to work for Southwark, and I helped out on something. It was a community alarm scheme for older people.
Mm.
And they were really short. There was only one person who'd been running this scheme. And everything had got in a complete mess, and you'd got piles of old files that hadn't been sorted out. So I started off helping with the admin, and then I started off helping going out and visiting some of the older people, and really liked it. So then I got some experience as a social work assistant. They let me do a placement, and then I got funded to do my social work training.
Brilliant.
And then worked as a hospital social worker. So I qualified as a social worker when I was 28.
Mm-hmm. And you really wanted to do that. So it's great that they funded it. And...
Yeah, no, it was. It was the good old days when they used to do that sort of thing. Mm. Yeah.
And so that was with older people?
Hospital social work was what
then.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So people with... it was a guy's hospital, so people with medical and surgical wards. And while I was doing my social work training, I'd done a placement in a hospice, which was really good, really liked
it. So what was the hospital, what was that role like? What were you doing with those people? Like, was it generally checking, were they...
So it was helping with discharge planning, helping with all sorts of things, really.
Like practical or emotional?
Yeah, a whole range of things. There was, when I joined, there was still the remnants of hospital social workers being like Lady Almoners.
Yes.
And there were some very posh, sort of middle-aged, late twin set and pearl type social workers.
Did they work for the hospital or for the local authority?
They worked for the local authority. Mm.
But they were kind of institutionalised in the hospital.
And there was a real deference towards the doctors. You know, it was really... Some social workers would challenge doctors, but a lot of people just were like the handmaidens. The handmaidens of the doctors. And I think because I was young and newly qualified as well, it was quite different. So lots of practical support, helping people who'd had... road traffic accidents, people who'd maybe fallen, you know, old lady fallen and broken a hip,
yeah,
couldn't go home again, all sorts of things like that, mm-hmm. really helping with housing, helping with benefits, helping with caring responsibilities, all sorts of different things.
So
yeah,
it was
good. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where were you living? Were you still at home then?
So I stayed, because of the younger people in the family, I stayed living at home till I was about 27, 28. And I'd had a few long-term relationships,
mm-hmm.
including one, the person I went out with for 7 years.
Wow.
I met him when I was 16, and I carried on going out with him until I was 23. But he wanted to get married, but I didn't really want to leave the family, so I didn't.
Was it both things, or?
It was both, but I think probably the looking after the family was. No, I don't know. Now, looking back on it, I'm really glad I didn't get married to him.
Yes,
wasn't
of
right.
course.
But
yeah.
At the time, I felt that I needed to stay.
But was that very, very hard at the time?
No,
or did it just fizzle out? Or?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I still used to go out a lot and have fun and try and combine everything. And I also had, I'd seemed for years, I was thinking about this the other day, I always had more than one job. So I don't know how fitted it in, but I worked for quite a long time as a waitress. So I used to work in Joanna's up here.
Oh, go away.
Probably when it first opened, mm-hmm. it was a sort of burger bar. Just used to do burgers and fries there.
Right.
I worked there for quite a long time. So I used to do my day job in social services and then go and work there and try and sort of look after the house as well.
Wow. Was that for extra cash, or was it sociable kind of thing as well?
It was a bit of both, but I always sort of saved up to buy clothes or to buy, you know, to go on holidays. Mm. I used to love going on holidays.
Did you? Where did you used to go?
Canary Islands, Spain.
What, with girlfriends or boyfriends?
Yeah,
or?
Both. Mm. So just
sun holidays.
Sun holidays, yes. Real good old fashioned beach holidays.
Lovely.
Yeah. Greece, we used to go to a lot. Yeah, lovely. So, I used to do that. Yeah, I did that job for quite a long time then. Also decided, some friends and I were going to set up our own fashion company, so we made lots of clothes, three of us, and sold some of them, and then some of them, the fabric we made, made them in, people washed them and they shrunk.
Oh no!
There was various, all the colours all ran, or it was a bit of a disaster. And also we'd make a load of things and people say, oh, I want that, but I want it in a different colour or a different size, and we'd already made things, so it didn't work out, but it was quite a novel idea.
How long did you do that for?
Not very long.
So you had lots of things.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Lots of,
yeah.
What did they say? Like strings to
your
bow.
Yeah. And then at some point I worked in an estate agent's as well. That, I can't remember how.
What, while you were still a social worker? Or?
Yes, I worked at the week. I had a Sunday job in an estate agent's in Peckham. So I used to do that one. Yeah, I used to do that every week as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
you worked your butt off.
I do like working. Yeah, still a bit like that.
And yes, you are. And so you had this one guy from 16 to 23 or something.
Yeah.
One boyfriend.
Yeah.
And was so he didn't meet him at school, obviously, because you were in a girls' school.
No, I didn't. I met him at a disco. So he was called Ian. He was a bricklayer. And I think my dad really liked him because he was a proper man and did good manual work.
Uh-huh.
He was ever so sweet. I mean, after my mum died, my dad used to come round all the time and help out at home. And my dad always had him doing jobs. He built an extension to my dad's house. He laid the garden path. He built the front garden wall. He was like,
so it's like another son in the family.
But yes, after that, I had a whole load of different boyfriends. And then I had another 7-year relationship with somebody who was from an Irish family. Both his parents were Irish, and he lived in Plumstead, who was called Michael. And Yeah, there was a real, he really didn't like, he'd had a really difficult background, and he wasn't keen on all things Irish at all. Whereas,
You'd had a very different experience of the family kind of wrapping around.
So yes, I went out with him for 7 years and got engaged to him. So
Ooh,
actually, I got engaged to the first one as
did
well.
you?
Of course,
You've had a few engagements then. Did you give the rings back?
It was unofficial engagement, the first one. Did I get a ring? I don't remember ever getting a ring the second time. No.
Suppose the first one you were like a
Yeah, it was
schoolgirl to
more
early
short.
20s, and then sounded like he became like another one of your siblings almost in the
It
house.
did.
And then the second one was probably, when were you mid-20s then, or?
It was. I split up with him in my early 30s, actually.
Did you live with him, or
The
when did you?
second one, I did move in with him,
So did you move out
eventually.
of your family home and in with him?
Eventually, I moved
Straight.
in with a friend first of all, and then moved in with him. Eventually. But that was quite. Must have been about in my 30s. Yeah, I think so. Late 20s.
And that was, and why didn't you marry him?
He'd got a lot of issues, actually. He'd got commitment problems, and his, he was lovely, and it was very, very difficult at the time. But now looking back,
Was the
it
right
was the right thing.
Would you have ended up looking after him for life, sort of thing?
Emotionally, I mean, he was very capable. He was a fireman, and he was very, very good at doing
Did your
lots
dad
of
like that kind
things.
of fireman?
He liked him initially. My dad used to judge my boyfriends by how shiny their shoes were. And he had very nice shiny shoes because firemen keep their
They do have
shoes
lots of time
shiny.
to shine their shoes.
But I think him and my dad were a bit too similar, and they didn't. There was a real
Similar
bit
in
of.
what way, or?
I think they were both kind of. What's the word? They were both very upright citizens. They were both, in my dad in the police, Michael in the fire brigade. They, I think there was quite a bit of jealousy between them, actually. I think, I think they're,
Well,
I think
because
so.
of your role in the family, and
I
it would
think
make
so.
sense, I suppose, wouldn't it?
I think so.
So, did your so what? How did your dad like the moving out? Was he all right at that stage with it?
No, it wasn't very
Was
easy. It was
anybody
really
left at home
difficult.
when you?
Phil, just my younger brother
Just
Phil.
Phil and your dad.
So it was a quite a wrench to leave. And actually, I'd had lots of opportunities to leave home before then, but I didn't go.
What do you mean, like people wanting you to,
So
or?
my one of my really close friends, Alison, and a friend, another friend of ours, Kevin, the three of us who set up this clothing
Oh,
business,
yes.
we managed to get a council flat in the good old days of, so we all managed to get a council tenancy in up by London Bridge.
Fabulous.
And actually, in the end, I never moved. I was on the tenancy agreement, but I never moved in. I
And
used
they
to stay
did
there. They
they?
did, but I never did because I just decided I couldn't leave home. And then I was going to move in with my some other friends of mine, and I didn't. And so
So you kind of were making plans and then not quite able to
not
follow
quite,
through to the end.
following through. And then I was going to go travelling, wanted to go travelling, and then just thought, no, I can't leave them. But yes, I moved out eventually.
What did you say, 28?
27, I think, yeah. 27,
How did you
28.
manage your sex life then, being at home till you were 27?
That's, you find a way, you find a way. It was, yes, and my dad was very
Was he
Catholic
very
about these
old-fashioned?
things, yes. very protective
of
about
the girls,
you know, yes,
is it? Of
yeah,
the daughters.
Definitely. And I think being a policeman as well, you know, he'd seen some not very nice characters and was obviously very protective towards us. So yes, but you know, you said where there's a will, there's a way. Sneaking around and fumbling about and waiting until people go out and yeah.
Did you have like were any of your aunts or did you have any sort of anybody to be a maternal type figure for you, like when
lots of people actually. There was a neighbour across the road who had only got a son and she sort of took me under her wing. She was lovely, Lily, and there were a couple of women that I worked with and social services who both sort of took me under their wing as well. And aunts were always, you know, some of the aunts were always very maternal.
Because you had some aunts in London as well as the ones in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. And our grandma, my mum's mum, was still alive as well.
Ah.
So she lived till she was in her, well into her 80s. So, yeah, we used to go and stay with her a lot as well. Mm. And then I think most of my boyfriend's mums as well seemed to take me under their wing. And then tried to intervene when the relationship ended because
they wanted it to carry on.
Yeah.
That's lovely though, isn't it? That's a compliment to you, like. That's really nice.
It was nice. It happened twice quite significantly where the mums then tried to disrupt any future relationships that they were having to try and
the boys moved on, they were like, no, we want to change back. How funny. So, anything else that you wanted to say about Ireland or about just that part of your life?
I was just thinking about going to Ireland and how different it is now. So, we used to go... So, we first went when I was 8 and then we went a few years later. So, this is when my mum was still alive. And then, once my mum had died, I think we went nearly every year.
What year did your mum die again?
1977. And then I used to go with my dad as well. We used to go back regularly. But I think, you know, when we first went, there was it being rural. And, you know, it was a real novelty. I mean, it was exciting. But it must have been so harsh there. Really, really harsh lives, I think.
Hard work, you mean, and long
really
days? Or do you
work.
Mean the attitudes? Or
I think both, actually. And I think for some of my aunts, you know, one of them, she lived in the house that my dad grew up in, which was, you know, looked really picture postcard.
This is on the farm in Burr, is it?
Thatched bungalow in the countryside.
Lovely,
Nibber.
Yeah.
Looks
lovely.
Pretty. And I remember at one point they were thinking of getting rid of the thatch and putting a proper roof on or knocking it down and building a new house. And of course the Londoners were all horrified, you know, you can't do that, and you don't have to live here, you know. But no running water, just having to go to a well to get water, no electricity, no mod cons at all, a big range, you know, where they did all the cooking with a constant teapot on the boil.
But again, very picturesque while you're visiting,
and 9 children.
Oh, God.
Just one after another.
Imagine
and the children.
Doing the washing, even, just
I know. So that was quite sort of shocking, really. And the children, you know, kind of felt like they were running riot, really. But they were also, they got them trained from such a young age
to do work.
Yeah, they were doing all sorts of work, looking after each other, taking the cows down, milking that, you know, doing this, that and the other, looking after the chickens when they were, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So that was quite a culture shock. Mm. And one of my, and you know, also the church was, you know, ruled with a rod of iron, really. One of the saddest stories I've ever heard is my dad's oldest sister. So she was only really young when my grandmother died. She got pregnant when she was outside of marriage, and she didn't have a mum, she didn't know what she was doing, she never had any.
Would this have been, Jane?
This
would have been
the beginning.
Would that be the 1930s,
maybe?
Yeah. She's younger than your dad?
She was...
Older.
She was older than my dad. But she was still young when her mum had died.
Yes.
You know, and they had no sex education, nothing at all.
Yeah.
And some bloke took advantage of her, I think. Anyway, she ended up getting married to him. Really unhappy marriage. But anyway, the saddest thing of all was she had the baby. She lived in a house down the lane from where my dad and granddad were. My granddad forbid any of the family to go and see her.
Well, because she got pregnant before she...
Yeah. And the children used to go and see her. They used to sneak down and see her and take her food and go and see her. But the baby died because she didn't know how to look after it.
Oh, God.
She had no help. Didn't know how to look after it. Absolutely.
So she had nobody. She was completely isolated. She had the husband, but he did nothing.
Yeah, but
he didn't
He didn't know. She didn't know. The baby died, and then she became mentally unwell in later life.
No wonder, with the loss and guilt and all the feelings of.
I mean, really tragic. Tragic.
It's very hard for us to understand that kind of.
Yeah.
That you could cut someone off.
I know. But, you know, so I think, you know, and you heard all these sorts of stories about people being abused and people going mad, and there were lots in that area, lots of people committing suicide.
But how would you hear all these things? Through the cousins?
Through family, you know, through relatives.
They'd just be talking about so-and-so
You'd hear about it. Really tragic family stories. And people being cut off and feuds and all sorts of things like that. And I think also loads of those, so my dad's generation, people would try and get away. Some people were kind of stuck in it and other people just really tried to get away. You know, it was so poor as well then. But then, obviously, some people went back and then there was a new wave of people coming over. So quite a lot of my cousins from Ireland came over the years to work in London. Quite a few did nursing, worked in the civil service. Lots of them lived in London for a period of time, and then obviously the Celtic Tiger, and they all went back.
Did they all go back?
I think, they've all gone back now, actually. Yeah, they've all gone back. And, you know, from living in these really sort of poor houses, they're now living in these mansions or bungalows, you know, huge houses.
The big houses that people build on a bit of what was the farm sort of thing, and there you have.
Massive houses. I mean, we're the poor relations now, you know, that they, and they're doing really well, loads of them doing really well. But, you know, despite all of that, despite the poverty, the generosity was absolutely unbelievable, you know, constantly being, you know, the door was always open to anybody who went, really hospitable and real warmth, and, you know, constantly filling you up with food and drink
You've got that sort of feeling in your own family here, haven't you?
Well,
so
I think
you do
inherit it.
Well,
I think you learn it as well, don't you?
Yeah,
sort of learned behaviour. But I think, it's nice. That's a really nice thing to have got, really, that sort of hospitality.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like you wanted to be there, or were you always glad to come back to London and
went in Ireland? Well, I had this sort of holiday romance when I was 17. Fell totally in love with this. It was all blue-eyed. Oh, anyway. Guy, and we wrote to each other, and then, you know, I wanted to get married to him, move to Ireland and have loads of children and all this sort of thing, but anyway, then I came back to London and just kind of wore off from my point of view.
Yes.
But he continued to write longer and longer and longer letters.
He had
and,
less
But no, I wouldn't want to.
So he never came for a visit. It was just
he was going to move over here and wanted to get married and all those sort of things. And by that point, I'd gone off the whole idea. So.
You managed to get rid of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you see it changing as you went back every summer, or was it something that seemed to stay the same when you were a teenager and then suddenly years later changed a lot?
No, I think it was changing gradually, slowly, and then it just suddenly seemed to change completely.
Yes.
You know, and actually every time you go back now, there's more and more houses and, you know, everybody's got cars and the church isn't that important. And, you know,
very different now.
Really different, really different. And people are so, you know, when I used to go, you never, ever, ever see anybody except people from Ireland or related
to people.
No people
of colour when we were young.
No. And I remember...
the odd doctor or something like that from the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like somebody who'd gone to the missions and married a person of colour and brought them back to Ireland. That was it. There's like probably two children in our school.
We went... must have been about... I don't know. So Birr, which is the town, the nearest town to where my dad grew up, was where we used to go. And there's a big castle, Birr Castle. And actually it was a big kind of Anglo-Irish place. And actually now, we never appreciated its children. But it's a beautiful town, beautiful Georgian houses, very affluent. They had a big army barracks there, British army barracks.
Yeah.
And a lot of the army kind of that service, the local population service, the army. So there was quite a lot of money. It was quite wealthy because it was right in the centre
of the whole
of
country.
The south. It was a good, sort of quite a safe place for the army to be. But it's, you know, it still was, the shops were a bit old fashioned and all of that. But about 20 years ago, must be. It must have been about the time that I first went over with Toby.
Your husband?
Yes, sorry, my husband. Yes, of course. there was a lovely B&B called Spinners, and I think there were some gay people ran it, which was quite shocking for Bear. Yeah, really shocking.
How modern.
I know. But there was also a place near there, a few years later when we went, where a load of asylum seekers had been rehoused, and that was all a bit to start with, you know, all this asylum seekers. But actually, they seem to really embrace that.
Uh-huh. So changes came.
But yes, the first time I went with my husband, Toby, my dad's sister who had the pub, she died, and one of her sons took over the pub. And there was always a tradition, the first sort of night or two we were there, all the relatives would come and see us. But we turned up at this pub on a Monday evening, quite late in the evening. It was empty. And gradually the pub started filling up and filling up. And it was relatives of mine from far and wide had come to see Toby.
Oh,
to check it out.
Isn't that amazing?
So, yeah.
On a Monday night.
I know.
They made the effort. They really made the effort. Isn't that amazing? How did he feel? He took it fine.
He was fine. They lined up pint after pint of Guinness for him and he actually was fine.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Should we leave it there? Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No,
that was a really nice place
fine.
To leave it, I think. You being welcomed, Toby being welcomed to the fold.
So I will press stop on this.
Okay.
Thank you so much for doing it.
That's
brilliant.
Right.